Es geht tatsächlich los.
Okay, we can finally start. Thank you for the applause. I didn't do anything. Thank you. Thanks to the technical people. In the first row, two rows, we still have a few empty seats, and you may use them. Thank you for your understanding. Unfortunately, we don't have any music, and we will now get started with Ron and Frank. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you very much. And from us also for this year, a warm welcome for this year too. The intro music reminds me of some place I was with Andy when we still used to be press speakers for the CCC, and we just were like at sorry, I got out. I love multimedia.
Well, we are back here. It's been 1 year since the last time, so this time is progressing really fast, and we are back here. And I think we'll start with the more serious parts of the last 4 years and carry on to the funnier parts now. We'd like to talk about all the little things we'll be laughing about next year. And first we'll do a short little review of all the things we laughed about or didn't
and
laugh.
As usually, we don't think we've got everything, but of course we will allow questions to include more things we laughed about and will laugh about.
Right, during preparation I thought that, I mean, we already did 5 years, so we should probably do some special session, but then we found, oh well, it's already been 9 years, so we'll do a special session next year then. Why we are doing this? We're talking about the idea what kind of security nightmares we want like to see next year. And we found out that we actually do need these kind of nightmares for change to happen. This is why we are constantly requesting from people to know that just because we already told you about it, it doesn't just mean we're finished with it, but you still have to do your part.
So one of these nice examples for predictions we've been done all the years, Ron brings every year to the Congress something. I didn't get that.
Everything we could have had in the last 5 years if I actually sent it by mail. Damn.
Let's look at back at what happened this year.
Much.
Ron. Ron had to take a smaller font for the presentation, unfortunately.
Well, we had 2002, 2003, 4, 5, 6. We just don't know anymore. We already lost all the slides. We predicted that it's time that one of the big, huge databases gets...
Well, this year, somehow, it was over-delivered.
So, you know, the real joke is that the databases which actually disappeared. It's the one from the German telecom. It already disappeared in 2004 or was lost in 2004, and we just found out nowadays.
We are
sending dementis that we knew about this, because otherwise it would have been so typical if we say we knew.
Not only the telecom is super in losing data, it's also others. With e-government, we thought, well, you can get registered online and do your tax declaration by email, but that's what we thought about e-government. But e-government's different. E-government means everybody can have every data.
And one definition of e-government is the adaptation that one can actually measure adaptation of e-government by the amount of data they lose.
At the moment, UK is leading there. They have lost so much data, they've even lost track of how much data they lost.
Yeah, but everybody else is closing up fast. I think in Chile they lost already 6 million entries from data entries from the public.
So it was the government, not anybody, but the others lose much more, but it was the government. The data from the Chileans were, funny enough, they were the voters register. Yeah.
Yeah, well, something positive, we have a new...
We've got a new fundamental right on digital in a private sphere.
The beauty is that if you take a look at the discussions and the articles and news about all these things, then you're finding basically everything we already talked about in the past. For example, that digital cameras can be used to spy on the population, and I think we already told you about this last year, that this will, or that the government wants to do this and is asking the population to just walk through your house with your own camera, because you can't send everybody, or you can't send a government agent to spy on your people.
So then self-spying will be the new trend, and the hugest problem with spying on yourself are the politicians, like, didn't keep track of this glass where the fingerprints were collected of our Minister of the Interior. And they're joking about people not having a look at their glass.
There will be some new issues of the data Schleuder, our monthly magazine with new fingerprints. Something which is very interesting and symptomatic is that we're seeing each month a new message or new article in the news about cyber warfare.
The background is that they are trying to get clear about how they want to get close to the topic digital security, cyber warfare and stuff. And some companies and persons try to get public with that, and that's how it gets all mixed up in the press and everything happens, and people like calling, well, we're bad hackers are getting into those energy systems, or bad hackers are going to crash the stock exchange. So that's what you've got to take serious.
Yeah, and then they all came. I think it was January or February. It was the CIA in March. It was the Ministry 1 in the USA. Then it was the second one. I think it was Interior Security. We just lost track.
And it's always been the Chinese. Every time it's been the Chinese.
Right, probably we got malware which might have been from China, or might have been written in China, or maybe China already knew about it. And then it was malware with Chinese graphical user interface. And then I thought, well, this looks really pretty convincing. It's in Chinese after all. And then I noticed, well, they came a bit late this year, right? So they had there was this newspaper.
It was the home newspaper of the Max Planck Gesellschaft.
Right. It was just brilliant. They had a nice little picture on the title with this translation about the GUI. It was, if you translate it, it was something about hot girls. And now I'm looking like, I mean, it's a Chinese GUI after all. Yeah, it looks like it, but did anyone ever translate it?
As we were going on about China, one of the funniest stories about this year were these picture frames, these digital picture frames that were given out for Christmas under 100,000, where you could give your parents not a photo album but a digital picture frame, and they are pre-owned now, so you can get them pre-owned by the company with the Chinese virus. And Yeah, well, these picture frames were sold, and there was a Trojan on it, and that used the USB connection to get to on the computer and on the Windows computer, and continued from there. The FBI was very outraged about that because people in the very high secure institutions bought like these picture frames. But what I saw yesterday was picture frames with included UMTS modem. So, totally new possibilities here.
Yeah, well, they just don't have a camera yet. Yeah, but it's completely all right. These frames and the photo point of sales, like just printed your picture now for 50 cents, they're completely owned already. So you plug in your USB stick and it's owned. I mean, in the past, it was you had to lose your USB stick on your company premises, and somebody would find it then. Or I think HP mislabeled some letters this year and sent them to the data to the wrong persons. All this is kind of the past. Now we're doing these photo stories.
And they're capable to do Bluetooth and all sorts of things. It's not gonna. I don't want to encourage you, but
I mean, it's not even competition yet.
The funny was also the point of sale terminals that at supermarket cash desks, and they came pre-owned from the company in China with a built-in GSM modem that sent selective card data home. Not home, but not China, but Pakistan, and they looked so well and were sealed so well that the only way to identify that check that by weighing the machines if they were like 100 grams heavier because of the built-in BGSM modem.
Yeah, this is something like the low-tech counterattack. Just putting it on, weighting the hardware. I mean, you have to just imagine what's the alternative. Send the guys a screwdriver and explain to the employees of the shops, open up the case, compare the serial number to another one from this list. Nah, this won't work.
And that's the when, and then the guarantee is void, actually, and it's not sealed anymore.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in the shop can do this. It's no problem at all, right?
So what happened own from a company was what happened there was like the wireless LAN of the Boeing 787. So we already predicted war flying, but we had to cancel that the next year when the Lufthansa cancelled the wireless LANs on the airplanes because it didn't pay out. But that was at least that was the official story. So maybe too many attacked government members. But then what then happened was that they had to work on the Boeing 787 wireless LAN because it wasn't separated enough from the board network.
And I mean, the most absurd thing is that what you can find in the newspapers, that's where I'm thinking, hopefully, I just hope these are very interesting translation mistakes or fuck-ups. Because there you'll find things like, yeah, the people who found these bugs, they are the networks were not efficiently separated, and Boeing answered, no, because they're not completely connected with each other. So, just what a load of crap.
So on with onboard entertainment when you play the flight simulator game, be a little careful.
Oh, someone told us.
Well, so you should really stop the nmap scan when you get to the flight controller. Product piracy was also a very nice topic this year. So the numbers are from American official places, so there was like 3,500 faked network machines, and were carried out from NOCs. So it looked like Cisco, it smelled like Cisco, but there wasn't Cisco in it. Apparently, they didn't find anything linking to Chinese backdoors in these machines.
Which means we had three possibilities. Because first, it means that somebody in China did roll because nothing was in there. Second possibility, it was simply just the phase one. We'll just send you some crap and there was nothing in there and we could already deny it. And we'll see how much we'll successfully insert into the marketplace.
And the third possibility is they just lied and just didn't want to admit that there was something found in these fake Cisco boxes. So, yeah, when a Cisco box arrives, just, you know, open it up, have a look at it and check if it's correct.
Well,
the voting computer massacre that we already predicted,
it's actually the e-voting massacre update.
Yeah, so many machines in the US aren't legal anymore, and the 2005 we brought
e-voting has finally reached mainstream.
It happened in The Simpsons. Have a look at Simpsons voting computers. They attacked other German media. So voting computers actually arrived in the media.
Was just great because The Onion, which explained during the presidential election campaign in the US, it was already clear who would have won the election. The next president will be the voting machine BFG 9000 or something.
And that was really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, actually we already pre-announced it. Social networks, we didn't bring any numbers, but the one before, was it last year? We had some numbers, but we forgot about them. But the virus distribution systems have grown a lot. They're reaching more networks. For example, we should take a look at the
Picture data crime.
Yeah, the picture crime, where they lost about 17 gigabytes of customer pictures.
So who saw them all? Was something interesting with it in there? Someone said no. Did your eyes bleed?
Yeah, well, drunk teenagers probably. Nothing.
Many,
more.
Many drunk teenagers. 17 gigabytes drunk teenagers.
Well, and the interesting question is now, who is actually saving this for storing it for future use? Or is the internet never going to forget the 17 gigabits? This might be possible as well. I guess we'll take a look in like 10 years when the first of them will be politicians or so. Yeah, probably.
So
we'll see. Yeah, and the other thing is that social networks are currently being used for the content for targeted attacks.
So how was the name of the pet? What's the girlfriend? Where do they work? How do they know? Which alcoholic drinks do they like? Whiskey brands are popular passwords, but
yeah,
cigarette brands also, and that all sorts of that things.
Yeah, and now we have the internet normality update.
Yeah.
Now it's called security. This is another way of measuring it. There we have, I don't know, about 4 articles each day, probably.
On
right?
High security.
Yeah, it's all about security. Well, high security has about 4 of them each day.
Cisco moves to patch days, so they're planning something big there.
Well,
so there's something still possible there?
I think I never thought that the big wave is coming when somebody stole their code about 3 years ago. When was it? iOS?
Yeah, about 3 years, I think.
Yeah, it feels like 3 years, right. Huh? I don't get it. Somebody in the audience said anything. Anyway, so carry on. Yeah, next one. Cisco patch days. We had about 2007 we had about 5 times as many viruses as in 2006. The way they're multiplying, that just
they wrote viruses in German wrong,
so everybody's laughing about the typing spelling mistake. Well, in 2008 we'll have about five times as many fives. And yeah, right. These curves, they already look logarithmic on logarithmic paper, so... Something from the audience. Still discussing the typos.
Yeah, this five times or six times reminds me a little of Compact Flash, where they advertise like with 233 times speed or something. Well, it's very trendy to be the victim of a data crime. So 127 million US citizens became victims of data crimes. That's six times as much as last year. So 2000 we had like .com and the boom and stuff, and this year the banks, they had their curves downways, and now the data crime curve is going very much up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. It's like everybody already experienced that, or you know someone who had this experience, and we can use all the security yuck. Nobody is... Oh, then we can all understand it much better. After all, everybody knows about it.
Well, luckily most of the time, lost data are actually lost USB sticks and or eBay hard drives or something. So that's the way eBay, right. Data gets lost.
Yeah, start buying hard drives on eBay.
Yeah, we call it the transport, like get old hard drives.
I think it's very important that you buy your hard drives on eBay because, it's plausible deniability. Hey, it was already there. These are not my data. I bought it on eBay.
Remarkable was also that there's these nice statistics that how much a credit card data set is costs every year. So World of Warcraft accounts are now more worth than more credit cards information, because there was still gold in the World of Warcraft accounts.
Yeah, we'd like, apropos gold, we'd like really like to know what happened to e-gold. Maybe somebody could send us an email. This would be very kind. And, well, the statistics for this year is that email passwords are more expensive than credit card numbers.
The interesting question is why, and someone told us. You need an email account to have to get your password sent to you. So, for about all services in the world. So,
yeah, except .mac. There you only have to say, my new email address is so and so. Please send me my new password.
Isn't that called Mobile Me now?
Yeah, probably. Whatever.
Botnets have grown a little. 400,000 is the largest number here, and
yeah, that's two times as big as the year before they found them.
Yeah, exactly, and nowadays they are sold by 10,000 price for 24 hours, and the interesting was also the patch number.
Right, there was this solution provider who wrote a tool with which you can check not only operating system patches but everything, and he offered the first statistics that only 2% of Windows machines are completely patched, and this is not about the operating system but every application in there. So it's completely clear where the trend will go. More Windows exploits.
Superworms, we had someone said like it's time for another really good superworm, and that was like one candidate for it.
The reference is still the SQL Slammer, one packet large, and that's it. And this year we already had something new. It was the RPC exploit or RPC bug in about, I think, every Windows release, inclusive Windows Server 2008. So basically, ancient code,
But there wasn't a worm for it.
Yeah, there has been a worm developed, and then but there didn't much happen. And then you take a look at the design and at the details, you take a look at this, and then you find out, well, H.G. Moore, he was sitting in the on the plane all the time during the thing. Okay. And you know, H.G. Moore, he's the guy from Metasploit. And, I mean, is it true? If he's sitting on the plane, nobody else is coding any shit out there? Can't be, right?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's a bit difficult patching it before anything happened, but spam. We'll see. Go for spam. You know, spam, the social engineering components of spam are getting much, much funnier all the time. I've never seen so many people reading spam aloud to each other than this year. Because the entertainment factor, it's growing increasingly. Or it's so growing immensely.
You Killed Today was the number where the thing where you could offer more.
Yeah. I'm ordered to kill you. Do you want to offer me money? Because then if you pay me more, you can prevent me killing you. But even better was a bit later the... Well, good evening or good day. We are the FBI. We think that you might be the next victim of this killer spam stuff which you see on TV. We need your data to verify this, please.
And what it's always gets more absurd in the so the FBI warns about fake FBI emails by email.
Well, another wonderful thing was the story which we saw on the news a few weeks ago, who actually fell for one of these 419 spams, and she basically blew everything. First her own money, then a mortgage on the already paid for house of her family, the pension fund of her husband, and already sent it down there to them. And then when there was nothing left at all, then... Just then she found out that this might not have been all right, because the mails from President Bush, which she personally got from him, to please continue sending money, because they're so very close to winning the war on terror, because they can find a terrorist down there. These mails, they might just have been faked after all.
And the nicest thing is that she said, well, I'm not a person who is easy to trick. Yeah. From this series, we have... we were really watching the tax evasion cases scandal in Germany, where... people think when they look at spam, how... if we look at Germans, we could some people just cut out of the brain if they read that they can evade taxes. So maybe that's how spammers thought and sent a lot of emails.
I don't know. Have you seen this kind of spam? Like your stock options are completely worthless. Please click here to change this.
Contrary to the fake Viagra, this just send it out and it somehow works. So when they've sent out fake stock option messages, the stocks actually rise and it works. Did anybody get these mails from me about your email is going to be cut off soon? And
yeah, they were great.
With the email, with the zip files in the attachment. And and they also write the people like, your internet is going to be cut off. So because everybody will believe that, because no one knows how the lawmaking process is going. So that's also what works.
Right, well, then the update to the evolution of the dark side. Well, it's probably, we already talked about all this outsourcing, increasing professionalization. The current trend is the that the data shufflers, sorry, the criminal data shufflers, the data...
Data's people who sell the data legally.
Like your drug dealer, data dealers, they are not just... It's not all about quantity anymore, but we're looking at quality nowadays. So they're probably big customers of these companies which are selling data quality management tools. That's one theory, and the other theory is that we'll probably see another data quality management software company on the market, which already has a lot of data. E-government probably. They will go around buying up data from here and there and from all these Trojans and combine it or sift it all on the data farm to generate better data entries. What else is there?
So the service quality is going on, and I just brought you a title from Heise, the German news magazine. Trojan box out of the box building with round the clock support and exchange service.
Well, obviously there are still some parts of the industry which are actually requesting good service. Well.
Yeah, funny damage routines. Some malware. Has fun? Anybody found something funny? No, that wasn't very. The usual we encrypt your data and want money from you stories, but who forgot to take the AES key out of the data, out of the Trojan.
Or has anyone seen it, something like it?
What we're waiting for is actually a WikiLeaks Trojan the Trojan that looks for secret documents, not for public leaks, and then just puts them over a tower to WikiLeaks, just pass them out into the wild.
Yeah, I think that is something. If you need a design template, I think we have all the customer requirements in the Schockwellenreiter, a German blog.
Nein, it's a book by...
It's a book? Oh, sorry.
It's... Yeah, we don't know the name of the book, but it's a famous book, and the German blog calls itself after this famous science fiction book, which we don't know.
So I'm a kind child of the 80s, or I only know blogs.
Yeah, they're applauding the German magazine IX because they lay in information on themselves to because of the hacker paragraph in Germany.
And this is brave, and bravery should be should get some applause. Yeah. Well, and then what I noticed is what is something strange. The USA is already improving on this. They have some more notorious people criticizing the data storage, the general data storage requirements, and all the interfaces for these data bases are bad because terrorists are using them. So, wow. They already noticed it. I mean, it's just great. Didn't we say something in the past? I mean, the CCC already explained in the past that it's very nice that there are these interfaces for database access and everything everywhere. We need more of them because otherwise they might never notice stuff or the crap hitting the fan.
However, it's always linked to the degrees where the lawful interception interfaces were used from people who didn't really belong to the Greek government, or not to the government, not the Greek government at least.
Oh well. Yeah. What about the last year we did ask around if your neighbor's wireless LAN is already encrypted. So this year we are asking around in the audience who has unencrypted wireless LAN in their area. Everybody, hands up the hands.
Oh shit, it's just don't update, leave it like the way. We will need them one day.
Yeah, while the country court Wuppertal in Germany already decided that using open wireless LAN access points is a crime, And I mean, there's a open wireless LAN in my area with the ESS ID Jesus Lives. Probably I came to the conclusion that you could use the asset for free speech and how many letters can I put in there and into the ESS ID, and how many mobile phones passing by can I own by putting in too many characters into the asset.
Yeah, that's still some room.
Oh.
SSIDs are now used also for advertising. Wow.
Cool. Is there nothing
sacred?
Sacred.
Anymore.
Anymore, right.
The question is obsolete since they introduced toilet paper with adverts on them.
Yeah. Well, as long as WPA2 still works for a few time, I guess we'll just carry on.
Yeah, it's plausible deniability. Too.
Yeah, legacy hacking was good for some articles. Yes. There's still a lot of articles of systems out there which are not really current, and but they're working for many, many years.
Good example was the Polish people who used infrared transmitters to own a. To bring a train to lose its track.
Yeah, right.
Then but
some
with infrared.
Saying it was one or two or maybe four or maybe a few others, but we don't know. Maybe if anyone in the audience has a entry for this category, just shoot. Anything? What else is there?
Oh, yeah. There's this story about Lidl, which had their cash desks didn't work. The cash desks didn't work if you get give deposits back for €1 and buy something for €1. So if you buy if your bill is zero, the cash desk was crash.
Cool. A 0-day exploit. Well, I probably had something to add about bias hacking and anything.
I think it's going over directly.
Technology that's been around since 386L. And it's also sort of a funny Schadensroutine because I know for a fact that it was used by CPU vendors to buy information from several million users about whether they were overclocking their CPUs or not. The thing is, this wasn't in 2008. This was back in 2004. But I learned about it this year.
Okay.
Maybe you need to translate for the some.
I think everybody understood. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
We'll repeat it. No. Well, carry on.
We're not repeating it.
Then we said that these little plastic routers everybody has in their homes, they will slowly become infrastructure. And we are still thinking there should be some kind of competition. We need, I mean, it shouldn't be all, or should be good. We need some more Tor exit nodes, or going to the bad. We don't know.
So the
you can
the first
follow this in the news. There's first exploits trying to reprogram wireless routers by including HTTP or exploit code in emails or web pages.
Yeah, it's well. There's also been first Trojan, but that's quite nice. But that's actually the payload that matters. So we're still waiting for something good there.
Okay, now our conclusions for 2008 has been concluded, and now we look forward to 2009, going boldly where no one ever gone before.
So we're looking at the glass orb now.
Yeah.
The ID passport
is coming.
So the fine specifications in the end of 2009 will be. They're out. We're accepting bets on how much later that actually will happen. We don't believe it's going to happen that soon. And it's also a question about quality and functionality and delivery on time and budget. So we don't think anything can go wrong there.
Well, but what already is making you smile today are plans that this one should also be used as legal identification on the internet. For the ones, it's an e-passport, and for the other ones, it's the highest quality cookie you can ever get. Well, yeah. I'd really hate to hear about the price or the value of verified or of data verified with the e-passport. Made in Germany is going to become a new sign of quality.
It's also debated that, well, it started with the electronic passport. You can't read it from far, because not really, but you would need like 350 watts in your suitcase and with a Yagi antenna and burn a hole into the antenna before you can actually read it from far. And I think that's actually true today. And I was 2 years ago. I went in Hamburg in with the amateur radio people, and they showed me what you can actually do with normal retail hardware and a sound card that can filter out signals, noise out of signals, and you can tell that home. You need to live. From South America, you can actually send this all home with the consumer hardware, and the hardware, the calculating power is in a sound card from normal laptop, and we didn't really think about that yet. So if you think about that, the electronic passport we've got now, and it'll like hold for another 10 years, well, it's at least allowed for the next 10 years, so we don't know what happens in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, we probably didn't expect that shopping malls do have IMSI sniffers already to see in England, to see who is going through their malls and what kind of movement patterns they have. And if we can't manage to, supply them with RFIDs on their necks, everybody has mobile phones. And when they found out that a huge amount of German peoples are running around there, they put up some new signs written German.
Okay.
Yeah, this leads us to GSM.
Well, we'll have a look at how far we are, and I think GSM is going to die within a year. It's going to be toast in the next Congress. Open BTS, we can build our own networks. The BSF 11 hack by Harald, GSM sniffers, and all sorts of things. We're going to add some more telephony later, and GSM as a basic technology has arrived in hacker hands. So our politicians are doing many, many phone calls, and our country is governed by SMS. So I think there's also quite a lot of potential there.
Lots of things to try out.
Some question from the public, from the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the whatever what the rain is going to be called next year, the Haar in Holland, the camp, there will be probably an own hacker cell phone network. So be prepared for that.
Yeah. Right. And for them not to tear it down instantly again, we'll just continue monitoring the frequencies.
They are actually applying for own frequencies publicly, so that's actually legal. So we're
We'll have lots and lots of new proxy and Tor or VPN exit providers, not just because of the online search from Germany, but everybody needs it, like Australia, where all they're building, increasing their proxy infrastructure for content censoring, because they are already considering, or they are working along the idea of, if I can't see it, it must have disappeared. So I mean,
they're extending the splinters in their eyes to big lumps of wood so that they can't see anymore, and we want to have a Firefox plugin that can actually fetch a website from via some proxies fetches different websites from different countries via proxy to and shows me the diff of the contents of those website. Automated censorship diffs will be interesting for organizations like archive.org, we guess. So Adobe Flash next.
Yeah. Flash. Let's think. 2009. We'll have so much fun with it. You always have to remember.
There's a lot of things adding up. Interesting things happen when different things are multiplied somehow. So Flash is somehow as it is, and Flash has an interface to attached webcams and integrated microphones, and for the state Trojan spying software 3.0. That's interesting. And even if Flash 10 is fixed, Flash 9 will still work. So
right, because Flash 9 is still in existence.
And in every laptop we have a camera in the front. It's quite normal nowadays. And
well, that's what you think.
That's what you think. I think when I... when I'm interested in my data quality, I won't also do keylogging, but also photos
I'll do
photographs by keylogging, and it's going to be very interesting.
Photos are much better because you already know who's typing what. And bad networks 2.0. I think it has pretty made clear that actually trusting your network has become a bad idea.
So that's what people say nowadays, is like the net isn't trustworthy because it can actually be listened to, and so that's the RepRoc's standard question: has it been actually encrypted? So because it can be listened to. So nowadays it's not only that the networks aren't passively bad but actively bad. So things are happening. We've heard about SSL Man in the Middle just now, and also about TLS problem. I don't know if you heard about that. Most of the email clients can do TLS nowadays, but they have as default I'll use TLS, and if it doesn't work, I don't use TLS. And O2 also had on their gateways, they shut or filtered SSL or TSS on their standard gateways, and so lots of clients suddenly silently switched back to clear text, and fallback exploit.
Right, and it's an important decision after all. Do you actually prefer crypto or whatever? So you actually have to take a special look at the configuration. And what does the, for example, the Java client, what does it do when you select TSL? Does it do TSL all the time, or does it only do TLS whenever it works? And especially, what kind of cipher does it use? Can I enforce MD5 or something similar? Well, next one. SSL probably
is very broken.
Broken by design, or pretty much broken.
Yeah.
Now the question is,
and someone replicated the attacks. Will it re-replicate it? How secure was the machine that where the key was on? Was the machine here in the network? Maybe about bad networks. Evil
talking
networks.
About bad networks.
Well, yeah.
You're right. And I mean, there's so many networks, you know.
So many networks, so many certificated authorities, and it's a little complicated.
Right, intelligent power meters. Yeah, we have them on the market now. I find this really rather interesting. Yeah. This is regionally very diverse in Germany, and I nearly didn't put it on the slides, but in Hamburg, if you call Vattenfall, the local power company, and ask them for a intelligent power meter, then they'll tell you, no, sorry, only if you live there and there, where we are force testing it with everybody. But this is stupid. I mean, relocate, moving your home to another power supplier, that's not something you really want to do, but ENBW provider in the south, they offer it. And there's the other one, what was his name?
Huh?
Yellow. Yeah, Yellow. Right, Yellow. They are doing intelligent power meters too, but then you need Yellow, never mind, power. I don't know. Can I actually live with this because it's nuclear power? Well, whatever. And then the newest update is you can have a intelligent power meter from them even if you don't actually aren't if you aren't a customer of this power company. So there's no excuse for you not to have one and have some fun with the device.
Yeah. For example, in California, they're thinking about if they shouldn't also add intelligent electricity meters, but also controlling their
power usage. For example, your air condition can be switched off when it's hot or when the power is low.
Yeah,
so there's lots and lots of potential. I think if they calculated it for the Netherlands. If everybody would configure their freezing storage, the big storage houses, if they would be programmed for them to, I don't know, turn off their power for half an hour a day, you will save gigawatts of power. But I mean, after all, temperature would only rise for about 1 degree.
So that's and don't forget, we'll then have a blinking lights you can actually see from Google Earth.
Well,
we will have that, disregarding everything.
So either way,
yeah, keep track of that. Question from the public. Doesn't make sense. We didn't understand the question from the audience.
Yeah, it's all right.
SMMP v3 was the bug that 2008 that happened that actually didn't get recognized enough.
What happened there is SMMP v3 usually gets encrypted and you can do authentication with the cryptographic authentication, but interestingly, the client can say how long the encryption should be, and if it says encryption is zero, then this leads to that you can hack the SMTP authentication with about, I think, 256 packets, among others, lots and lots of lawful interception infrastructure works with SMTP v3. It's a good idea to, I don't know, expand your working area a bit in 2009.
The management interface of the management interface.
Right. While we're talking about systems which hopefully will
get more attention.
Be granted a bit more
attention,
thank you, in 2009. Service configurations from Cisco or packet inspection systems, which are other words for censoring systems which are on the internet and filter protocols, URLs and stuff like that. And Cisco builds them. And if we think about the talk about yesterday about Cisco exploits, we have remote execution, remote code execution. I think we find that there's still some potential with these packet inspection systems.
So, autonomous flying robots. So, it was promised to us for 2009 that it'll be many, many activist flying objects uses in, let's say, responsible measures. So we're looking forward to that. It was a promise.
I'm really interested in that. But I think what we might ask is, are these going to be many, many cheap ones or a few large ones?
Target attacks, we've already talked about it. There's going to be...
We have a custom Trojan with 0 day.
It will grow and grow, and I think it's gone so far that 2008 we had targeted attacks against little NGOs who had been used with ODAs. So ODAs had targeted NGOs, and so that...
Yeah, you have to consider this is the current level on which we are. Somebody is using a zero level of a certain value, which is attacking a certain NGO with what, like five employees?
But yeah. We think that also will develop further on.
Yeah, at the moment it's rather all handmade or so homemade. We are working and it's all manual labor and quite expensive, but in the future we expect, I mean, we all started out that way, but it will be selective automated attacks.
So selective attacks target a group of people. T-Mobile started that with there was this surveillance of journalists in Germany, and we noticed that there was a special tariff for journalists, and if you can't go to your target group, you can still make sure that the target group comes to you. So if you want to telephone for very cheap and you're a journalist, we'll give you it even cheaper, because, and we of course know you're a journalist and a civilian.
Right. Next we'll see special tariffs for hackers.
Yeah, think twice before you want to fix IP on your DSL router and how expensive that actually is.
Yeah, well, and parallel we have these this development where you don't write a Trojan per bank, but just for a whole group of banks, the multi-bank Trojans.
What doesn't get any points is Java and Adobe Reader, and we'll give out points if there's funny, harmful routines there. It's a little boring. And Vista was also boring. We're not going to talk about Vista because no one's using it.
So right, antivirus. Antivirus software is... it's broken. The signature concept is broken. It's dead. Where you... This has basically been dying 2008. Large part of the companies which were successful for the attack signatures, where they talked with the industry. They have heuristics which might work, but... they all live from sending out signature updates you're renting your updates. So they have technology which might work, but they're not shipping it because you're not making as much money with it.
It's much more profit.
Slowly the antivirus industry is getting the pharma industry. There are lots and lots of similarities.
Like the pharmaceutical industry.
And if you compare it to pharmacy or medicine, there you'll have some side effects. And I mean, you can see that this year antivirus software has become a huge risk.
So either it actually takes apart your operating system, or it is a platform for other things that take apart your operating system.
But I think new areas of interest. So the tip to the antivirus companies: deploy these heuristics, but you might not be able to sell updates for the signatures, but you can sell updates for software which is clearly harmless but looks strange.
Well, we have software that looks fishy, but it doesn't do bad things, and you can sell updates to actually whitelist this software.
Yeah.
Well, false alerts is not really. I mean, yeah, antivirus has the problem that false alarms are, you know, normal. You install this software when you're a little paranoid, and you want to actually encourage that feeling of being paranoid. So, yeah, you want these false alarms in it. So you know that you've chosen the right buying choice.
You bought the right thing, right?
Question from the audience. We don't understand.
Right. So. Now, new areas of interest. The media branch is being fucked over all the time, and everyone is complaining about newspapers dying because everybody is only clicking on the internet for the news. And we know the answer. The
magazine for data crimes.
Data crime, right.
And if you
think about it, everything's possible. The journal for the data crime victim, with articles like, these are the pictures of these are the pictures which brought me to sending out my bank details, or
read the spam letter that brought me to send my money to Nigeria. Or
right. And the interesting thing is, there is actually a niche for print, because all these important thing or these dangerous data, you can actually print out and sell them. And you know what? You can completely look at them in security because it's print.
So surf securely in the internet and buy this book.
Buy the book. Yeah. Or optionally, as audiobook. And everything's possible. The magazine for the informed data criminalist, or it's called eBusiness 3.0.
The magazine for the data crime protection
companies,
and there's six or seven possibilities for new magazines. So when the magazines go down, media goes down, there's still new possibilities.
Yeah, and you can buy licenses of these ideas. Yeah, well, we should have spotted these opportunities, but too late. Everybody's already opening the notebooks and registering domains. Well, too late. Anyway, what we can still find somewhere is, oh, the update of the e-lifestyle consultant. I think we had this we had this ages ago. I think it was in 2003 that there will be a
Volta
new
take over.
Kind of job, the lifestyle consultant, and he's going to explain to people how they can optimize databases out there on the internet. And this was the reaction to our talks about how does profiling work. And I think the year before, the one before, we needed these for creating your Facebook profile so that you look the best on Facebook. I mean, Photoshop, yes or no, that's not that important, right? We're sure it's existing nowadays, and we are progressing step after step. Yesterday we had a talk about how and if you should save your porn and where, and I think this will be the next step. You already
what did one or the other female hacker say to her male hacker? I mean, come on, please clean up your room. What do you think? How would it look if they kick down your door tomorrow and everywhere where you have socks lying around? Well, because, you know, they are making these pictures for the as evidence. That's how it looks at the data criminalist below or under his bed, the picture drill.
Is it bad?
Well, you have to think one more step. We have the federal or the government e-searches, and you have to really consider what you have on your hard disk. And I would really make sure that your own hard disk doesn't look too harmless, because they will never stop searching then. So we think there's still a market niche for porn in pornography, steganography.
Yeah, and we also have new sports, new kinds of sports. My favorite sports that has a future is mixing data traces and doing that in real life. The inspiration for that was students in high school in America. They started to do something interesting with teachers they don't like. They took their license plates and with a correct font, they basically cloned them on glossy paper and put it on a car that looks differently. It looks the same, they just got speed camped. So they basically ran through speed cameras. And I really think that this idea has potential, because the amount of automated punishment systems is increasing. So it starts with speed cams, that's a classic, but you also have cameras on parking lots that look for suspicious behavior, and there's always people who get banned from malls, and there's a lot of potential in this kind of approach, I think. And if this leads to a mass movement, then these systems won't be usable anymore. So this is something I consider a sport.
Right. Strange reactions, strange actions. So suspicious activities will become the first order of the population, because that way crime will lose track below, or will sink below the threshold of the attention threshold.
And placing data traces for people who have earned them,
who deserved it, who had it coming. How many prominent politicians do we have in this country? Do you know?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Interjection, 100%.
The audience suggests 100% problem.
There's
politicians.
Enough problematic politicians, so and there is something possible, I think.
Yeah, we have bankers, problem bankers as well. And what we think as well, or additionally, which might prove lots and lots of fun in the future, is botnet hacking. I think there's some kind of profilation factor. I wrote a multi-layer triple AIS botnet. I cracked it. It had 400,000 clients. Cool, man. You did it. I mean, that's nothing, right?
Peanuts. Mine had 800,000. Interjection from the audience, response. You mean the being served thing?
Yeah. Well, no risk, no fun, right? Well, whatever. That's for the hardcore people among today's kids. Yeah, something a bit less drastic, or a bit less risky, or whatever you name it, that's all the topics around cheating internet filters. I don't think that, I don't know, in 2 or 3 years, any URL you're swapping on the playground is anything worse if you can't at least claim that it's blocked in Australia. And I mean, I think every marketing PR agency is already working on getting the company websites for children's chocolate or something on the blacklist, because, hey, I mean, seriously, nobody would ever look at them if they are not blacklisted in Australia. Well,
and we can also talk about blinking lights. I mean, we've already, Frank has already mentioned it. We have for a long time waited for new technology. Like 5 years ago, we said, now we will have Zigbee soon, and with Zigbee we can basically let whole quarters in a city blink. People raise hands. How many of you don't know what it is?
Does anyone remember what Zigbee was, like 10% or so? Well, and then we hope that Zigbee only has to, I don't know, pass its half-life existence. But no, Zigbee is going down. So what we didn't try last year to realize at the Congress was the Zig... Oh, right. It comes down when you're reading that a Polish student was blocking the complete...
He basically was
tram station. Yeah. So what the idea which we come back to is, what actually happens if we use a TVB gun connected to a huge infrared lamp and direct it as a housing area? What happens?
The next possibility
during the, I don't know, for the next world championship in football or whatever, just use it during the finals.
There's people in Germany who said that in Germany there would be a revolution if that happens. And I think we need to test this out and put this to test.
Okay, so this is, in my opinion, this is, these, all these low-tech systems are completely, are not being paid attention, enough attention to. Well, there was a story in the student in Utah who went out and bought on some kind of auction for, I don't know, for drilling oil on or near to a public reserve area, and he bid for it, and he actually won some kind of auction. So, and sometimes he was actually increasing prices like 500,000 or more than they actually expected to pay. And he was walking home with the idea, well, that's cool, there's still some amount for improvement. And right now he seems to have some kind of land around these areas, and they have to, before they can reassign these areas, they have to wait for like 3 months or so to see if he is able to pay. And so this is basically denial of service in real life.
Yeah, in this and case they think about doing the auction
again.
They have
or
to
not.
Rethink about it.
Right.
Too bad yeah. That the UMTS licenses have gone already.
Damn shame the UMTS licenses have already gone.
All right. For the UMTS licenses, they could have needed a certificate. Oh, wait!
Oh, wait, you need a certificate, right. We remember something. Oh, yeah.
E-government. That would be a lot of fun.
Gonna be fun, definitely. Yeah, we already mentioned it a little bit. Most of the data nowadays is being lost on USB sticks in 2009. This will be becoming a huge problem. And I think Bruce Schneier, he said something like, data bases or data is the refuse problem of the information technology or the information systems. I think we had it on the news this year already when the iPhone, it was claimed that the iPhone is spying on the user because it's making screenshots. And, well, only if you took a look at the fine print, it was mentioned there that the applications are doing this in order to load up their applications faster. And if you consider this, it's very, very difficult to make sure that, as a user, you can make sure that the data is not stored on the flash or completely wiped. So we ask an expert if it's feasible to to request or maybe even suggest that we build small scale EMP devices for your pocket, which you can use for, I don't know, I mean, you know, last year we already mentioned that it's a bit difficult if I'm driving with a rented car, the navigational system, the computer knows where I've been, so, I mean, it might be feasible to use a pocket EMP, but turns out it doesn't, so we will probably go back to the blowtorch.
Technologies with which you can physically eliminate flash and that you can actually take through airport security, that's what we have to look for in 2009.
Yeah, that's worth everything. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
It's like cold boot attacks, that's has been very nice too. I had almost put it on the slides here.
Yeah, I think Cisco we already mentioned, right?
All right, we have a request for 2009. Stasi 2.0 into production, please.
Yeah, it goes live. What's that a real claim or request is out from... Right, the claims we are seeing in the real life all the time, for example, in airports, it's like the current request or current claim that we can't take liquids through the control. And suddenly we're hearing voices like, oh, well, it might not have been a good idea, actually, that we implemented these liquid controls. And where do we get these messages from?
The politicians.
From politicians.
The politicians were pissed. The politicians were pissed off that they couldn't take their honey and wine into the aircraft anymore.
Yeah. Well, at Daimler Chrysler or Daimler, the CEO is driving each car as a beta version. So before they roll out the or put them in production, the CEO is board is driving a smart for 2 weeks. So. We're actually considering extending this concept for politicians. Before you, I don't know, pass a new law, you're going to live by it for like 2 weeks or something.
Public data retention for all...
For all delegates. Yeah,
because
quality matters.
Now, we have a running gag. Mobile malware update. Well, for about 10 years we pray already that with mobile malware there must be something possible. So last year we thought the iPhone would be it, and then there would be some nice mobile worms for it. But
and then it turns out the iPhone is the only phone which people are updating at all. So, yeah, I mean... We really don't want to condone Apple there, because, I mean, after all, they're still way, way, way too slow. I think they... What time was it? 5 months?
They had a browser exploit only for 5 months.
Yeah, right.
And they were eclatant fault classes. Microsoft 99, like this, when you think back, Apple security updates are, oh my fucking God.
Right. Whatever. I mean, doesn't matter if it's iPhone or DNS slow. Well... Symbian?
Yeah, we listened, something will happen there.
Yeah, right. Back to the updates. The problem is, I don't know, 5, 4, 6, whatever. Yes, we already said that the problem is people have basically no way of updating their phone. And now we find that with the new systems, people have the opportunity to update their systems, but...
But they don't do it. So... there is a large, a big manufacturer of Symbian phones, and they said, we ship every day more phones than people update per year. There's an interjection from the audience we didn't understand. So this means that this update problem, Apple is the only one that seems to have a grip on it.
A partial grasp really on the problem. Them. Yeah. Well.
And they promise new features, and they have to.
Right. Now, You know, when does anyone know when copy and paste will arrive for the iPhone? So if you really have to push out a security fix, which is really, really important, it must be done instantly.
Before that, we won't see cut and paste. Or maybe we don't see Flash until then. Yeah, like we said, Symbian, we think there's something possible. Until now, nothing happened.
Okay. Right. A little bit we saw, but there wasn't that much. It was an MMS mobile phone worm, which we found on the Ether this year, but it turns out that the network providers are already filtering this kind of worms on the back end.
Okay. An interesting development is, and that's the reason why we think it will really change.
Yeah, right. In the past, it was that the larger part of these premium SMS or short message systems,
this premium text message stuff, basically they sent €2 to the sender of the message. So
there's these communication providers, they are basically fed off because they're getting huge amounts of SMS spam, and so they are starting to blocking SS7 access, and they are starting actually to block whole countries, telling them to, hey, well, whatever, use voice over IP.
And this development leads to criminal...
Mine is already off because I'm translating. And to the technical background, SMS messages can be sent as different types. This was specified back then when SMS was developed. You can send an SMS as different types: telex, fax, paging, video text, or email. Nobody ever used it with these kind of standards. I mean, whatever is written in there, initially it stays in there. And some years later, somebody added to the standard something that you can convert an SMS to an email, and in case the first part of the SMS is an email address and it is being sent to the remote end, then the remote end will not show the number of the sending system, but the email address. And this, I mean, wasn't really paid much attention back then when there were many SMS to email gateways, but then everybody decided, well, we don't need this anymore, we have emails on systems right now. But back then, in 2002 or 2003, Nokia suddenly, we don't know why, started implementing this kind of specification. It was it might have been a customer request, but it seems nobody ever used it, because since the initial implementation, there's a problem or error in the S60 phones, and I mean, one would have noticed this, but nobody ever paid attention to this and used it at all. They would have noticed otherwise. Okay.
Okay, and the developers thought, okay, we'll go for sure, we'll be sure, and we create a buffer that has 32 characters. Now, but if somebody comes up now and sends an email text message, and a lower layer says, oh, there's an email address in there, I'll take this and I'll put it into the sender field, and this email address is now longer than 32 characters, it will pass it to the higher layer, which has a 32-character buffer, and bang. So then this is where it gets stuck, and the higher layer says, panic, I can't accept this, the text message is hanging in the buffer now, which causes that you are unable to receive or send further text messages.
And we already prepared something for you? Well, there, we are sending a test SMS to the target system. There it arrives. And we see it works.
Now we take a different phone.
Um, you, you can write these SMS messages from most of the phones. Please pay attention to low tech. There, we have a 33-character long email address. We're sending it. Oh, it's saying sending email.
Message sent.
Oh,
but nothing happens at the target phone.
Yeah, it obviously arrived, but it's not shown. Okay, now we're sending a normal SMS to test it out.
Fnord Foo Bar.
And as you can see, no incoming messages on the target. Nothing. No. We don't know what kind of phone Miss Merkel has, but that would be phone terror, right? Okay.
And now it will not accept any further text messages until factory reset.
Geiler als Gold.
And if you think, okay, no problem, I'll make a backup before that, and then I do a factory reset, well, actually, you will restore the problem. No.
Right.
Semester readings until tomorrow. That will be possible deniability. I have a Nokia phone.
Well, and there's a little difference depending what kind of version of the Series 60s you have. That, for example, was a Series 60 3.0 version, and for 3.1 phone, you don't need to send just one message, but 11. And afterwards, it shows you something like the memory is filled up, and you are asked to delete some of them, which is especially funny if there are none visible. Well, and with the 3.1 devices, it's that when you switch them off and on again, you might be able to receive certain SMS, for example, single parts of multi-parts. And if you receive a multi-part and you want to read it in full, you have to switch the phone off and on for each single part of the multi-part message. Well,
and because that is quite a big thing, well, like 7 weeks ago, exactly today, 7 weeks ago, we informed Nokia about it, the operator, and a few other big operators, who actually addressed it with their security department.
Well, and there we have to differentiate between Nokia. Nokia sent me a reception receipt and a mail about which content are not allowed to talk, but there wasn't much more in there, so we really don't know what happened. And the operators were very much more helpful, especially David Meiche from Vodafone. Thank you very much. He tremendously helped that we could forward this to the GSM Association, in which every GSM operator is a member, and this could be passed on to every 1,600 GSM operators worldwide. And there is a possibility of solving this problem on the operator side, because if every SMS with this certain type, which nobody ever uses, we can block it and or not accept it as type 50 and just rewrite it to as a normal SMS, which then reaches the recipient. In Germany, we have four big operators, and
only one of them was able to put such a filter up, and that's T-Mobile. don't be happy so early. The text message architecture with T-Mobile is actually when you send a text message, it will always be sent via the text message gateway of the sender. So the T-Mobile users, you cannot send such messages, but you can still receive them.
Well, question from the audience.
Yes, the
German Parliament has T-Mobile contracts, and you know, everybody who feels hated and feels all the haters of the iPhone, no, the iPhone is not affected.
Apart from that, Fortinet, that's an Italian mobile antivirus manufacturer, they are working on a removal tool, and that you should be able to use it to get the mobile phone back to a working state without using a factory reset, and for some devices it already works.
Yeah, right. URL is at the bottom, it should be online, and you can call it directly from the phone. For 3.1 there's a version which also works, but not really, because they had to hurry up a bit. And with the newest Symbian systems, you have to sign the code first. And well, yeah, I was assured that until middle of January there should be an update, which means that 3.1 version phones can be made workable again without a factory reset.
And, well, until then, I'd say ask Nokia for new software. Interjection. Does it also work with Twitter? With what?
Nah, I think the PID must be 50. So I think Twitter doesn't send them as 50, but as standard text SMS. So, of course, you can hack Twitter first to make sure that the message is sent with 50, but... Well...
A few more interjections we didn't understand. Why is it now arbitrary code execution? Well, we can't really answer it yet, but maybe somebody wants to look into it.
Well, yeah. Well, that much for mobile mail. That's the current status. And we heard about some other problems which are basically of equally proportions. What we learned is that the idea that operators can filter a large scale, that is obviously wrong. So the reason why there are no large-scale attacks, it's not that the operators can filter them. They obviously can't for SMS. So, well, we'll see.
We're in good hope for 2009.
We keep our fingers crossed for next year. Right, and now we're reaching the end of the talk. We want to say goodbye, wish you a happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, right. So. And always remember, interfaces are your friends.